Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're watching a Highwire Media podcast.
Hello, true crime fans, and welcome back to another episode of Fatal Fandom. This week, we dive into Kevin Leibel and the murder of Christina Grimmie. Before we do that, give me your thoughts on this case in the comments section below. And as always, give me your ideas for future topics in the comments section below, and we might be able to use them in future episodes. And with that, let's dive in, shall we? To today's episode. On June 10th, 2016, 22-year-old singer Christina Grimmie stood at a folding table inside the Plaza Live in Orlando, Florida, welcoming fans in a post-show meet and greet she cherished. The line moved with the soft hum of conversation, cell phones ready, arms opening for hugs. Then the room erupted. Kevin Leibel, a 27-year-old man from St. Petersburg who had nurtured a private, escalating fixation of Grimmie, raised a pistol and fired at close range. Christina's brother, Marcus, lunged and tackled him. In the struggle, the gunman fatally shot himself. Christina was rushed to the hospital and later pronounced dead. The crime stunned music fans, YouTube communities, and working artists who recognized the frightening overlap between public accessibility and personal risk. In the shock that followed, a central question emerged. How had a one-sided fantasy evolved into lethal violence? Tonight, we examine Kevin Leibel, his isolation, fixation, and preparation, alongside the environment that made his attack possible. The goal is not to sensationalize him, nor to eclipse Christina's life and legacy, but to study the dynamics that turned a parasocial attachment into a homicide. Understanding the path to tragedy can support prevention, honor Christina Grimmie's life, and clarify how to better protect others like her. Christina Grimmie built a career that bridged internet intimacy and mainstream visibility. Growing up in Marlton, New Jersey, she began posting YouTube videos as a teenager, pairing powerhouse vocals with piano arrangements and a disarmingly playful presence. Viewers felt as if they knew her. She spoke directly to the camera, laughed at herself, and invited suggestions for the next cover. Her channel grew rapidly, landing collaborations, small tours, and a devoted community that organized around her as both artist and friends. When she competed on season 6 of The Voice, coached by Adam Levine, she placed third yet vaulted into broader recognition. The TV spotlight confirmed what YouTube had already shown. Christina had range, drive, and a knack for connection. She wrote original music, performed with precision, and displayed humility in rooms where egos easily expand. The same accessibility that built her fan base also shaped her live shows. Meet and greets mattered. She hugged fans, signed items, and treated everyone like a person, not a purchase. That generosity, so rare in transactional culture, was part of her art. It also brought risk. Smaller venues often ran lean on security, staffing, and equipment. A signature strength of Christina's brand was intimacy. The challenge was that intimacy requires boundaries. Christina's grace with fans was genuine. The structural risks were real. Kevin Leibel did not fit the sensational archetype of a headline villain. He was quiet rather than theatrical, methodical rather than flamboyant. He lived with his father in St. Petersburg and worked on computers at an electronics retailer, solving technical problems behind a counter while customers waited. Co-workers later described him as technically competent and socially awkward, a man of routine who revealed little about his inner life. Over time, some noticed changes, weight loss, alterations in grooming, and references to personal procedures, while others saw only a reserved colleague who kept his head down. People who encountered him casually would have had no obvious reason to connect him to interpersonal violence. Yet isolation can be a poor incubator for perspective. Without a circle of trusted friends, a person's private story can drift unchallenged toward extremity. In that vacuum, algorithms repeatedly serve the content one already seeks, reinforcing a single narrative. Leibel's habits reportedly narrowed, his social world contracted, and his preoccupations deepened into rituals that offered structure but not connection. When the subject of Christina Grimmie surfaced, some coworkers recalled sensitivity and defensiveness that hinted at an internal storyline. None of this made violence inevitable. It did, however, sketch the contours of a life organized around silence, secrecy, and the absence of structured intervention. Most fans navigate parasocial relationships, one-sided bonds with public figures, without harm. They feel inspired, buy tickets, and move on with healthy boundaries intact. Risk arises when admiration fuses with entitlement. For a vulnerable minority, accessible media and algorithmic repetition can seed a conviction that the performer owes them acknowledgement, affection, or destiny. In that cognitive fog, no relationship can be misinterpreted as a hidden relationship thwarted by outsiders. Reports after the shooting described Leibel as someone who consumed Christina's public content extensively. The crucial detail is not volume alone, but meaning. He appears to have woven scattered signals, a lyric here, a gesture there, into a narrative of private significance. When a fantasy acquires structure, it seeks confirmation. Every like, live stream, or fan interaction can be mistaken for a personal reply. Those who study targeted violence emphasize pathways, not snap explosions. Interest, identification, fixation, planning, and a final threshold. Leibel's pathway likely followed this arc. He appears to have idolized Christina, then interpreted her openness as intimacy, then located obstacles in the imagined judgments of others, then slid towards planning. Entitlement sharpened into grievance. Grievance reframed reality. Reality resisted. Violence became, in his mind, the assertion of control. The tragedy in Orlando was the terminus of a story he authored alone. Premeditation in cases like this often looked banal until the final frame. Investigators determined that Leibel acquired firearms and a hunting knife and carried extra magazines. He chose a venue where security practices were lighter than at arenas, relying then on bag checks rather than universal magnometers. He studied travel routes and timing, arriving at a moment designed to optimize access, the post-show meet and greet, when energy is high and vigilance dips. Escalation also showed up in personal routines, the narrowing of interests, the centering of a single person as purpose, and the willingness to reorganize life around that focus. People around him saw fragments. New habits, changed appearance, prickliness around jokes, and silence when asked direct questions. None of these details alone predicted a crime. Together, they suggested direction. In many workplaces and social circles, there is no clear mechanism to collect weak signals that matter only in aggregate. Threat management is a systems problem. It demands channels that capture pattern, not panic. By the time Leibel entered the plaza alive with concealed weapons, he had moved far along a plan, and no corresponding channel had meaningfully engaged him.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Then comes June 10th, 2016. The concert followed a familiar arc. Grimmie performed with verve, thanked the crowd, and moved to greet fans. The simple ritual that made her shows feel like reunions. Witnesses recalled the friendly choreography, a smile, a hug, a signed item, a photo. When Leibel stepped forward, Christina reportedly opened her arms. He drew a pistol and fired. Marcus, Grimmy, feet away, reacted instantly, tackling him to the floor. In the scramble, the shooter fired again, then fatally shot himself. Staff called emergency services. Paramedics transported Christina to Orlando Regional Medical Center, where doctors could not save her. Outside the venue, sirens cut through humid night air as the news ricocheted across phones and timelines. The sequence was heartbreakingly fast. Violence of this type tends to compress time, converting 1,000 unremarkable decisions into 1 unbearable minute. While early public reports often focus on motives, practitioners know that opportunity matters as much as intent. Access, proximity, and predictability create openings. Christina's generosity, her wish to encounter people as people, was weaponized by a stranger whose fantasy had curled into grievance. The event felt random to those in line. It did not feel random at all to those who studied targeted violence. Detectives moved quickly to piece together the shooter's identity, movements, and motives. Public statements emphasized what they could say with confidence. Leibel and Christina had no personal relationship. He traveled from the Tampa Bay area, and he possessed 2 legally purchased handguns, additional ammunition, and a hunting knife. Search warrants targeted his phone, computer equipment, vehicle, and residence. Investigators looked for instructions, manifestos, or communications suggesting accomplices, and found none. In the absence of a note, investigators read behavior, purchases, routes, searches, and the statements of coworkers who remembered fixation. The early picture aligned with a familiar pattern, an isolated offender who had built a private mythology and then acted on it. Law enforcement briefings highlighted another reality. Venues vary greatly in equipment and training, and layered security is uneven across the live entertainment ecosystem. While the investigation clarified details of Leibel's preparation, it also underscored how swiftly such attacks unfold once access is achieved. The timeline from arrival to gunfire could be measured in minutes. For prevention to work, it must begin long before a single show date appears on a calendar. Workplaces are often where weak signals first collect. After the killing, some coworkers described Leibel's solitary breaks, his sensitivity when Christina's name surfaced, and comments that sounded like future tense certainty about a relationship that did not exist. Others remembered nothing notable at all. That split is common. Ambiguous behavior rarely reads the same to everyone. The challenge is not to deputize employees as diagnosticians, but to provide simple stigma-minimizing avenues to flag concerns when multiple oddities begin to rhyme. Effective systems set low thresholds for reporting and protect against retaliation. They also distinguish between bias and behavior. The question is not whether someone is weird, but whether they are displaying patterns associated with progression towards harm. Fixation, entitlement, grievance, and planning. In retrospect, clues can look neon. In the moment, they are scattered sparks. The lesson is to design collection, not to demand clairvoyance. Anonymous forms, confidential liaison, and training that frames reporting as care rather than punishment can transform a culture. The point is not to surveil every eccentricity, but to ensure that when little things start to align in troubling ways, there is a place for that information to land and a process that can assess it responsibly. The Orlando Tech Accelerated Recalibration already underway at music venues. Mid-sized theaters had relied on community norms, bag checks, visible ushers, a few off-duty officers on busy nights. In the months that followed, more rooms adopted wanding and magnetometers, standardized prohibited item lists, timed entry windows, and clearer sight lines around merch and meet-and-greet areas. Promoters expanded pre-show briefings to include threat reporting protocols, code phrases, and contingency rules. Artists and managers reassessed the choreography of access, moving tables, defining standoff distances, and ensuring that hospitality did not override prudence. Critics worried that new leaders would chill the intimacy that makes small shows special. Supporters countered that invisible preparation preserves intimacy by hardening the perimeter before the hug, not during it. The conversation inevitably widened to firearms policy, mental health, and the uneven distribution of security resources across cities and scenes. No single change could guarantee safety, but the combination of architecture, staffing, and practice response improved odds. In safety work, perfection is a mirage. The aim is resilience, the capacity to deter some attacks, disrupt others, and recover without compounding harm. Entertainment professionals continue to draw from the tragedy while insisting that grief is not a strategy. The public grieving that followed illustrated social media's double edge. Within hours, hashtags trended, memorial art circulated, and clips of Christina's performances were shared by millions who wanted to celebrate her life. Many outlets focused on Christina's talent and generosity, amplifying tributes from family, friends, and colleagues. Others, chasing clicks, centered the shooter, a rehashed speculation that added a little light. Ethical coverage elevates victims, reduces the notoriety paid to perpetrators, and contextualizes the structural factors at play. It's possible to honor Christina without platforming the person who killed her. Responsible coverage also resists the temptation to speculate about diagnoses. To frame violence as inevitable or to imply that a victim's openness caused the crime. Editors can adopt policies that limit the shooter's name, emphasize resources for survivors, and link to support rather than graphic material. Platforms have duties too. Algorithms that reward sensational thumbnails and recycled crime footage can be tuned to uplift profiles of the victim's work, charity links, and prevention guides. For the Grimmie family, the aftermath stretched beyond headlines into the daily work of remembrance. Public ceremonies alternated with quiet grief. Collaborators spoke of Christina's studio discipline, her delight in harmonies, and the way she treated crew as kin. In time, the Christina Grimmie Foundation took shape, supporting families affected by gun violence and breast cancer, two threads woven into the family's story. The foundation's grants, events, and partnerships became a living memorial, turning sorrow into service. Fans found ways to honor her through cover projects, scholarships, and charity streams. The idea was not to fossilize Christina in a single narrative of loss, but to keep making the kind of good she made one family at a time. In cities around the world, informal memorials sprouted where fans gathered to sing, lay flowers, and tell stories about how a video or lyric helped them through lonely years. Benefit concerts raised money for causes Christina championed, while peers redirected attention towards constructive change. The mission crystallized a private love into public service, helping families navigate hospital bills, travel, and the maze that follows violent loss. Clinical literature describes five broad stalking motives: rejected, resentful, intimacy-seeking, incompetent, and predatory, while cautioning that cases blur categories. Public figure stalkers often cluster in the intimacy-seeking group, convinced that the target secretly reciprocates. Common cognitive themes include magical thinking, we are destined, externalization, others are keeping us apart, and grievance when reality intrudes. Risk escalates with access to the target's routines, weapons, and triggering events that collapse fantasy. Warning signs include fixation on a single person, boundary testing, collection of personal details, sudden investments in status or appearance to deserve the target, and leakage, comments that hint at intent. Researchers emphasize warning behaviors, pathway planning, identification with other attackers, leakage of intent, last-minute clean slate actions, and a crystallization of grievance. Importantly, mental illness alone does not predict violence. Most people with diagnoses are nonviolent. What matters is the pattern: fixation, entitlement, and excess converging. Early non-judgmental engagement, wellness checks, and counseling can redirect trajectories. Threat management borrows lessons from high-reliability industries. Build systems that catch small errors before they compound in live events. That means standardized checklists, logging anomalies, and elevating decisions to the right person fast. A patron who refuses to remove a backpack, lingers after a show, or asks probing questions about backstage access may be harmless. The point is to record and compare, not to profile. Many tours now designate a staff member who owns incident intake and liaison. Effective plans designate a law enforcement contact, a adopt a simple incident command structure, and script de-escalation phrases for staff who must refuse unreasonable requests without inflaming tempers. Tubers can cultivate a left-off-boom culture, celebrating near misses reported by ushers and merch sellers. After-action teams should hold brief, blame-light reviews that assign owners for fixes before the next show. Safety is not a gadget. It's a habit built day by day. Kevin James Leibold was 27 when he murdered Christina and then himself. He was not a monster from folklore, but a lonely, fixated offender whose private mythology menacized into violence. Understanding his path is not about pity. It is about prevention. Every avoidable friction that was missing, robust screening, structured reporting, informed boundaries, forms a lesson written in grief. Yet the final words belong to Christina, a fearless musician who treated fans like friends, chased craft with discipline, and carried kindness into rooms built for noise. To honor her is to center her work in the way she moved through the world, not the man who ended her life. It is to demand safer spaces without surrendering the warmth that makes live music matter. It is to resource the unglamorous work of planning, training, and follow-through, so generosity is protected rather than punished. Remembering her means centering the generosity she modeled and investing in the structure that protects artists and audiences who gather in hope. The work belongs to venues and platforms, to friends and coworkers, and to fans who understand that love for an artist is safest when it respects distance and consent. Now, before we go, we'd like to thank our sponsor, NordVPN. Today's episode is brought to you by NordVPN, the fastest, most reliable VPN out there. In today's world, your online privacy isn't just important, it's essential. Whether you're checking your bank account on public Wi-Fi, streaming your favorite shows, or just browsing, you don't want prying eyes on your data. With NordVPN, you get top-tier encryption that keeps everything you do online private. Plus, with servers in over 60 countries, you can unlock content from all around the world. Want to watch shows that aren't available in your country? With one click, you're there. And the best part, NordVPN is lightning fast. No lag, no buffering, just smooth, secure browsing. And right now, NordVPN is offering an exclusive deal for my viewers and listeners. Use the link in the description today to grab a massive discount on a 2-year plan plus 3 extra months for free. That's right, 72% off. With 3 extra months for free. Protect your online life today with NordVPN, because your data deserves to stay yours. And with that, give me your thoughts on this case in the comment section below. And do you have any memories of Christina? I vaguely remember this story happening. I think I remember seeing her on like one episode of The Voice. I don't remember specifically. And she didn't really stand out for anything when I watched her on the show, because I think I only saw her like one clip or something. But let me know your memories of her if you have any. And with that, if you want to support the channel, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS. Or just don't forget to give us a thumbs up, hit that subscribe button down below, hit the bell notification button so you never miss another episode. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time. Take care.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.